Brett Dietz, when he was 29 years old, suffered a massive stroke, which, among other things, robbed him of his ability to speak. And the music that you're going to hear and the presentation you're going to see is a musical and multimedia diary of that cataclysmic event and his subsequent recovery. So I'm very happy now to welcome to the stage Mr. Brett Dietz. Come on out, Brett. One thing I neglected to say, this is the second ever performance of this piece, and obviously then the Detroit premiere, and we're expecting to see many more performances in the near future. So, Brett, just what happened? Tell us about the stroke.
Well, I have a hole in the left ventricle of my heart, and basically the left ventricle of your heart goes directly to your brain, and the hole in the heart can actually move just a little bit and can't create its own clots. And so what happened was I slept funny or something and was able to somehow get a clot to make its way in there.
Did you have any idea about this hole in your heart?
I did when I was younger. They told me I played sports when I was younger. You know, I played soccer, I played volleyball in high school, and they told me that, oh, you have a little murmur there, something going on there, but hey, you're okay, you can run, and everything's fine. So, and I never had any problems. I jog a lot. I jog like 2 miles daily every day. So, to me, it was okay, not a problem. So, but anyway, what ended up happening was the clot found its way into the hole and traveled directly to the back of my brain and in the back of your brain. And I know there's probably a doctor in the house.
Is there a doctor in the house? Yes, yes there is. Okay, good.
All right. So I'm a doctor too, but I can only help you with paradiddles and drumming. That's all I can help you with. My mother calls, I'm a useless doctor is what my mother calls me. So anyway,
Unless you're running a band.
That's right. Unless I'm running the band, then I'm good, you know. So, but the back of the brain is where the movement sort of takes place, and because it first landed in the back of my brain.
Sorry, what do you mean? This is where your body...
This is where movement... This is the part of your brain that controls movement. Okay, so I had paralysis in my right arm and my right leg a little bit, and then it traveled all the way to the... left frontal lobe in my brain, which is basically your emotional core, which is basically, you know, who you are as a person. And that's where all of that is controlled from.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to know, who you are as a person. I guess we're probably not very aware of that unless we have reason to question it.
Yes, that's very true. Basically, they told my family in the emergency room. I came in, well, I should tell the story about how it happened. I was actually... I got up in the morning, and everything was fine, as I recall it. And I started to shave, and I was getting ready to go to work, and I was putting on my shaving cream. And everything just sort of went fuzzy, sort of, you know, sort of a blank sort of feeling there. And my right arm just collapsed into the sink, and my left leg went like this. And it lasted for about a minute and a half. And it stopped, and then I kind of decided... time to go to work. So I got in the shower and I went outside, and at this point I was married, and my ex-wife was standing outside in the living room in our apartment in Evanston, Evanston, Illinois. And I never, things that I never do, I never put on tennis shoes without socks. And for some reason I walked out with my tennis shoes on, untied, without socks. So my ex-wife is going, "What's wrong with you?" And I went, I couldn't say anything. I didn't know. And she says, "What, you're not talking to me today?" Which probably the divorce later, but whatever. So, she says, you can't tie your shoes. I couldn't tie my shoes. She said, "Can you write down what's wrong with you?" And I couldn't write anything. So basically, they took me to the hospital, and basically, they knew I had a stroke, and they basically, you know, told my family that, you know, there's a very, you know, there's a good possibility that your son will never be able to express himself ever again.
So, what do you remember about that? Either that first feeling, or the sort of the subsequent feeling when it when the shoe dropped, that you were not going to be able to speak. What do you remember about that feeling?
I don't remember that feeling, because when they finally wheeled me into the emergency room after my MRI is when I was kind of mumbling. Basically what happens is, what I experienced was, I couldn't speak. And finally I'm in the MRI and they're saying, please hold still, please hold still. And finally I just started to go, I just started mumbling and grunting and going, and then I finally screamed in the MRI. And they pulled me out. They're like, "What's wrong?" And I was just like, blah, 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 "I," you know, and I couldn't, and I just kept saying the word "the" for about a half an hour. And they're like, "You had a stroke." And I'm like, "Okay," you know.
And do you know what? I mean, maybe we'll learn this as we see the piece. But what was happening in your brain that allowed you to have to say "the" but not other things? Like, what's going on?
I don't know. That was the first. But we say that a lot, I guess. So that was the first thing that popped into my brain, I guess. I have no idea, you know. But it's what you'll see in the there's actually a power. It's not really a power. It's a PowerPoint presentation that you'll see along with the piece, and it's actually Mac, so it's Keynote. So for us Mac users. So what you'll actually see, you'll see images of my MRIs, actually, during the course of the show. And you'll notice in some of the ones that are the top of my brain, you'll see the damage to my brain on the left-hand side of the screen. It'll be here. And you'll see the damage to my left frontal lobe, and you'll see some damage to the back of my brain. Now, it's wrong. I reversed it so that you would know it was on your left. The actual image, it should be on your right, because it's the top of my brain, so... Just so you, I thought that was pretty clever.
So now, if we can just, first of all, how long did it take till you began to regain your ability to express yourself?
Well, I think I was able to speak after about a week in the hospital. I was kind of not a great speaker, but I was kind of, you know, doing my best and very stumbling over myself, you know, stuttering quite a bit, not really, couldn't remember what certain things were, and. One of the things that you'll hear in the piece, there's a movement called Please Try to Count. And one of the things that they, basically they come into the room and they say, okay, you know, what is this? Okay, and they'll show you a dog, or they'll show you a cat, or they'll show you this. And they brought in this thing that looked like a fence to me. And I didn't know what it was, but it was a trellis. And they say, that's a trellis, Brett. You know, I was like, No, it's a fence. I don't know. I didn't. And what's a trellis? I didn't even know what that was. You know, so it was kind of not a. It's a very mean thing to do to a stroke victim, I thought. So, but so anyway, I was able. I think within about 2 or so weeks, I was able to communicate well. I went into speech therapy, and I had a horrible, horrible experience in speech therapy. I was basically with a student who was just. Not a good teacher. Not her fault. I think that she just wasn't quite ready to deal with me, you know. And I broke down constantly. Started breaking down. Basically, I developed a form of I couldn't really see certain words on the page right. When I was, and then I would I couldn't type certain words, or I'd forget to type certain words, and that sort of thing. So I developed this sort of this learning ability on my way back, trying to figure that out. So I basically had to start reading all over again, which was kind of difficult. And then I think 3 weeks after that, I had a very close friend of mine get killed in a car accident. And that was pretty, that sort of set me over the edge in terms of being depressed.
And you alluded to the larger injury was to a sort of an emotional center anyway.
Yes, and so basically what started to happen was, what's interesting about the brain is the fact that they know nothing about the brain, really. And what I experienced, and I told my neurologist this about a year afterwards, is that everything just kind of, you have these thoughts that just kind of shoot back and forth. I'm trying to figure this out. I don't know what, you know, and that's just sort of, that was happening to me constantly, and it happened to a point where I couldn't sleep anymore, and I was remembering childhood events from when I was 2, you know, just these weird sort of moments that are just trying to find a place to live in my brain because so much of it was damaged, So, and I think that that was the hardest part. And then where I experienced some really horrible, I became obsessive compulsive as a result of the stroke. And for a while, I had schizophrenia for just a little bit. I was hearing some voices. Not good. We don't want that. Unless they're your own, then you know that's good. And so a lot of different things, you know, going on because of the trauma that I experienced to the left-hand side of my head.
Now, there's so many. I mean, I'm sure you have so much more empathy now for other people than someone who hasn't gone through this experience. But it also occurs to me that there are religious orders where people force themselves not to speak as a way of learning. So is there a positive side of this experience?
Yes, the positive side to this experience was I started to really love my life. I started to really appreciate things a lot more than I think I did before then. I was very much into my career. I was very much into what's Bratheet's going to do for the world, you know? And then this just sort of knocked me all the way down to a point of near suicide. I was really willing to kill myself. I wanted to step out in front of a car when I was jogging, you know? So, and then I finally got to a point where I could appreciate things in life that are so necessary for all of us, which is, you know, take some time, look at a lake, love your wife, love your husband, love your mother, love your dad. Love as many people as you can, because it can all just be taken away from you immediately. And I think that's very important. It's very important for young people, because I was 29 when this happened to me, and I never thought it would happen at that early of an age. So I think that's the key to what this piece is about.
That's wonderful. Is there anything else you want to guide us through as far as the structure of the piece, or things we should be aware of?
No, I think it'll tell itself, and I think that the musicians are probably really upset that we've talked this long. So I think we better just go.
Okay. Good idea. Bratheet, ladies and gentlemen.